funny. I was thinking the same thing, and I'm thinking, I hope I didn't start that out too low. Because you got, I'm singing right in your ear. And all right, well, 2 Kings 24:8 and 2 Chronicles 36:9. 2 Kings 24:8 and 2 Chronicles 36:9. Jehoiachin was 18 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned in Jerusalem 3 months. And his mother's name was Nehushta, the daughter of Elnathan of Jerusalem. 2 Chronicles 36:9. Jehoiachin was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 3 months and 10 days in Jerusalem. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word tonight. And I thank you for our King James Bible. And Father, for the preservation of these scriptures, Lord. And I pray for grace, just teaching the lesson tonight. And I'm thankful that we have a word that we can count on, depend on, build our lives upon, dear God. And Father, as you have been true to us, help us to be true to your word, dear God, to apply it to our hearts and lives, to be thankful for that which you have given us in these scriptures. They're given by your inspiration and profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. The man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And so, Father, I pray that you would just help us tonight to increase our faith in your word, and help us as we hide in you because of your faithfulness, dear God, that we also can be faithful to thee. And Father, be with those in the nursery tonight. Thank you for the good services this morning, the Sunday school hour for the children and adults, the worship service, the word that has gone forth already. And Father, might you do your wonderful work in the hearts and lives of souls for our good and for your glory. And Father, we do pray and ask these things in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Occasionally I get some questions back there in the question box, and this is one of those. There are several of these in the accounts of Chronicles and such, where people ask, you know, we mentioned that there are no contradictions in our Bible, and it's the Word of God. So they see this passage we read. Jehoiachin was 18 years old when he began to reign. 2 Kings 24:8. He reigned in Jerusalem 3 months. 2 Chronicles 36:9. Jehoiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. He reigned in Jerusalem. He reigned 3 months and 10 days in Jerusalem. Pastor, which one is that? Was it 8 or 18? Well, I have a disposition when I look into the King, when I look into the our King James Bible, I assume it's correct. and if something seems amiss, I think, well, maybe I'm missing something. I have mentioned that before when you're studying, when you study commentaries and works about the Bible, you don't want to study to receive it and applaud the work. You don't want to study to deny it and reject the work. You want to study it to weigh and consider. Well, when I go to the Bible, especially my King James Bible, I go believing it's true. And if there's something that seems like a contradiction, I think, what am I missing? There are some texts that I don't have all the answers. And My wife just dropped her jaw because I tell her that I do. No, I don't have all the answers. But you know, so many times we give up too quickly on the book. And we don't need to do that. So I want to look at this tonight. And my first thought would be, well, why can't it be both? without even digging into it. Matter of fact, if you go to most commentaries, they will just tell you that, well, it's a scribal error, and it should have been 18. It happens. Nobody's perfect. But we need to understand that when they tell us that, there are multiple commentaries that do. Some of my ones that I use often that I think have a good view of the Bible have taken, I believe, the wrong stand on this. But they assume that it's a scribal error. Now, understand this. When they assume that it's a scribal error, they're not dissing our King James. What they're assuming the error is in the Masoretic text. The Masoretic text clearly has both of these readings just as they are. So what they are saying is something beyond our KJV issue. Those are saying that are saying they doubt even the Masoretic text, the preservation of that this is built upon. Because definitely the Masoretic text reads 2 Kings 24:8 just like it is, and 2 Chronicles 36:9 just like it is. I'm not a Hebrew scholar. I do have a Masoretic text, and I can check for Hebrew words. And the proper Hebrew word there, actually the Hebrew word that makes 818, the number 18 is a word. It's got three Hebrew letters, and you add it to the word 8, and it gives it the idea of 10, 13. And it works for 11 through 19. So you have the word for 8 for 8th, and you have the word for 10. You find those together, of course, in 2 Kings 24:8. In 2 Chronicles 36:9, the word for 10 is not there in the Masoretic text. It's copied just like the Masoretic text says. So they're doubting the Masoretic text, not our King James Bible. So we'll look at this. Well, I mean, what are the possibilities? I always like the the Bible's give us enough information in many things to give God the benefit of the doubt. If I were to say, if the Bible read in one place, David was anointed king in Bethlehem at a certain age, and read in another place, David was anointed king in Hebron at a certain place, at a different age, and another place where it said David was anointed king in Hebron at a different age, three different ages, which one's right? All of them. All of them. David was anointed in Bethlehem by Samuel when he called to be king. David was anointed in Hebron by the men of Judah. And then after that, he was anointed in Hebron again by all of Israel. Had the Bible not given us all those details, how many of us would have given God the benefit of the doubt? Well, we got three places here now where the Bible says King David was anointed king, and this guy says he was this old, this guy says he was that old, this guy says he was over here. It just contradicts itself. No. There was more information that we needed, amen? And we need to give the Bible the benefit of the doubt. You know what? Because sometimes maybe the information isn't given. What do we do then? Well, then by faith we give the Bible the benefit of the doubt. Am I dead in Christ? Am I alive in Christ? Yeah, well, actually both, yeah. We're dead and alive in Christ. But we have to read the book. We have to read all these things. So we study this. I hope it'll be a blessing to us. I hope it'll increase our faith in the Word of God. Let's look at this situation and see if we can figure some things out here. By the way, also, I mentioned, well, why not twice? In 1 Kings 29, 22, they gathered together and had gladness, and the Bible says they made Solomon the son of King, the son of David king, the second time. Just gives that plain information there. That was the second time. they made Solomon king. So even if you only had that verse, you'd say, well, maybe Jehoiachin was made king twice. That, you know, that would answer part of that. The other questions might be, what about the age? 8. That just seems kind of young. And then what about the rain time? We got 3 months in Jerusalem, 3 months and 10 days in Jerusalem. And then if we got anointed at 8, why don't we have, you know, so many years? And there's those questions. Well, let's study these things and see if we can find some answers here. We think about this. There were some other occasions in the Bible, if we wanted to study this out and search it out. Well, if 2 Chronicles 36:9 is true, by the way, that's the one that they believe is suspect. As far as the copyist error, they believe that the Hebrew word was left out, which would have made that 18. So they believe the Masoretic text has the mistake there. But anointed king so young. Well, what other kings in the Bible were anointed young? Let's see if we can learn some things. Well, first of all, we could go back to Joash. He was anointed king at what? Age 7. Age 7. 2 Kings 11:1. There's a queen reigning in Judah. She has usurped the throne. And what's her name? Athaliah. What does she do? She slays all her grandchildren. There's a nice grandma for you. She slays Jehosheba, the daughter of King Joram, hides Josiah in his nurse's bedroom. So he's just a little babe when he gets hid there in 2 Chronicles 11:2. And the Bible says he was with her, hid in the house of the Lord 6 years, and Athaliah did reign over the land. And the 7th year, Jehoiada sent and fetched the rulers over hundreds with the captains and the guard, and goes on there. And in 2 Kings 11:21, 7 years old was Jehoash, which is the same as Joash, when he began to reign. 7 years old. So what do we have surrounding this early beginning of a reign, 7 years old? Well, we have great turmoil. We have the throne being usurped by Athaliah. We had the rest of what the brothers and southern family killed by Athaliah. We have great turmoil. And this brings into effect the anointing of a king at a very young age to preserve the line of David. Interesting. 7 years old. What else do we see in the reign of Joash? Now, he reigned, being anointed so young, 7. He reigned under the instruction of who? Jehoiada, the priest, for multiple years. We'd find that in 2 Kings 12, 12:1. The 7th year of Jehu, Jehoash, began to reign. 40 years reigned he in Jerusalem, as talks about his mother's name and such. 2 Kings 12:2, Jehoash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days wherein Jehoiada the priest instructed him. So we don't have, you got to realize, we don't have a 7-year-old wielding the scepter here, okay? We have Jehoiada overseeing this young man since he's been anointed king here at 7 years old. We have this time that goes by. And the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 24:2, in relation to Jehoiada kind of overseeing Joash, 2 Chronicles 24:2, and Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. And Jehoiada took for him 2 wives, and he begat sons and daughters. So here we see Jehoiada really playing the role of father to Joash, even to the point of choosing his wives for him. Some multiple years have passed, obviously, in the life of Joash. Okay? And Joash's first recorded official act as king happens years later. In 2 Chronicles 24:2, Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. The priest took two wives for him. 2 Chronicles 24:4. It came to pass after this that Joash was minded to repair the house of the Lord. This is after he gets the wives. First thing we see Joash doing, initiating as king himself, is what? Repairing the temple. This is after he's married and has wives. So we don't see a seven-year-old wielding the scepter. He was overseen by others during that. How old? Well, he had told them to collect the offerings and to spend it on the repair. And then in 2 Kings 12:6 it says, "But it was so that in the 23rd year of King Jehoash," or that's Joash, same name, same person, "the priests had not repaired the breaches of the house." That's at what? In the 23rd year, he started at 7, he is 30. Weren't spending the money as they should have. So we see he's grown. He's a grown man when he comes to reign, even though he was made king at 7 in a sense. So we see an example in Joash. Turmoil was involved in his being chosen so young. Actually acting as king came much later. Let's move on to another. Josiah. Josiah was made king at age 8. Guess what? Amidst the background of political turmoil. 2 Kings 21:23. "The servants of Ammon conspired against him and slew the king in his own house, and the people of the land slew all them that had conspired against King Ammon. And the people of the land made Josiah, his son, king in his stead." So Josiah's father, what? Has been murdered. The throne has been usurped. "And the people of the land made Josiah." So here we see this kind of a political turmoil again. Talks about the rest of the acts of Ammon and such. But we can be sure that Josiah at age 8, we can be sure from what we've learned already that the people of the land who made him king had something to do with overseeing him from the age 8 and on up to whenever he actually started reigning the kingdom. There was some oversight there. 2 Kings 22:1. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. So that's another testimony to his young reign. Josiah. All right. Now, his first recorded official act as king happens years later. 2 Kings 22:3. "Came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah." So he started at 8. 18. What do we got? That's 24, is that right? Or 26? Something like that. "He sent Shaphan the son Azaliah, a scribe, into the house of the Lord, saying," or 24 years old, he says, "Go up to Hilkiah, the high priest, that he may sum up the silver which is brought into the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the door have gathered of the people. Let them deliver it into the hand of the doers of the work." Again, collecting money to repair. His first official act, that we read about anyway, age 24. Age 24. Much later. Made King Young in the midst of great turmoil. Bible says about Josiah, made king at 8. Obviously some overseers. Josiah made king at 8. 2 Chronicles 34:3. "For in the 8th year of his reign," he was made king at 8. How old is he now? 16. "For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father." That's when Josiah began to do business in his heart with God. "I want the God of David to be my God." He begins, you know, if I'm going to be king, who can I be? Who should I want to as my mentor? Who would be a good pattern to follow for king? I think David, he picked a pretty good one, amen. I want to follow David. He began to seek the God of David, his father. And in the 12th year, how old is he now? 20. He began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images. And we can assume he had instructors right up until the time he began actually reigning the kingdom and putting hands-on orders and such upon the kingdom amidst turmoil and great struggles. Now let's look at Jehoiachin's reign and see what we can learn from this. Josiah, that guy we just read about, was Jehoiachin's grandfather. His grandfather Josiah was killed in battle when he decided to confront and engage the Egyptian armies who were headed on their way to fight a battle that was beyond Judah. Josiah came out and met Pharaoh and met the king of Egypt with his troops on the way to fight somebody else. You read about that in 2 Chronicles 35:20. Necho, king of Egypt, came up to fight against Carchemish and goes on there. And Josiah went out against him. But he sent ambassadors to him. What have I to do with thee, thou king of Judah? I come not against thee this day, but against the house wherewith I have war. God commanded me to make haste. Forbear from meddling with God, who is with me, that he destroy thee not. Nevertheless, Josiah would not turn his face from him and disguised himself that he might fight with him. Hearken not unto his word, the words of Necho, from the mouth of God, and came to fight in the valley of Megiddo. The archer shot at the king Josiah. He said to his servants, have me away, for I am sore wounded. They took him out of that chariot, verse 24, put him in the second chariot. And they take him and back to the city, and he dies. Age 39, his grandfather died in battle. Turmoil in Jehoiachin's family. Then in Jerusalem, they made Josiah's son, Jehoahaz, king in his place. This Jehoahaz is the Josiah's son, Jehoiachin's brother. Let's keep reading. The people of the land took Jehoahaz, and he is 23 at this time, the son of Josiah, made him king in his father's stead. Jehoahaz was 23 years old, 2 Chronicles 33:2. King of Egypt condemned him in the land in 100 talents of silver. So what have we got? We have Jehoiachin's brother had been made king, and now Egypt has what? Conquered the land about and put a tribute on Judah and such. King of Egypt put him down at Jerusalem, condemned the land, 100 talents of silver, a talent of gold. The king of Egypt made Eliakim, his brother, king over Judah and Jerusalem, and turned his name to Jehoiakim. Oh, yes, Jehoiakim. Jehoiachin's uncle. Jehoiachin's uncle. And Eliakim is also Jehoiachin's uncle. And the king of Pharaoh changes Eliakim's name to what? Eliakim to Jehoiakim. That is Jehoiachin's father. He takes Jehoahaz, Jehoiachin's uncle, away to Egypt. Jehoiakim was 25 years old when he began to reign. That's Jehoiachin's dad. He reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. Gee, do we think Jehoiakim would have reason about wanting to select an heir to the throne quickly? Jehoiakim's father had died what? At age 39 in battle. Josiah. He died just at a young age. And now Jehoiakim has seen the king of Egypt, what? Make him king. So the king of Egypt did the brother thing. He didn't go to the son. So Jehoiakim has seen his father die young. He's seen himself made king in place of his brother, not his brother's son. So what does Jehoiakim say? Well, gee, if I want my son to be king next, maybe I want to pick one now. There's a whole lot of turmoil around him. He doesn't know how long. I think it was something like 11 years he reigned, but he doesn't know how long he's going to reign. Babylon's now becoming a power. Egypt is beginning to stay in Egypt because of the great power of Babylon coming up. Jehoiakim, it's an uncertain political atmosphere around him. And so it makes very much sense for him at a young age to say, I'm going to pick my heir now. And he does just that and makes his son Jehoiachin king. He's going to be the next heir to the throne at age 8. Makes perfect sense. And he will groom him and prepare him for that. So, could be Jehoiakim's father. Josiah was removed at age 39. Jehoiakim's brother Jehoahaz was removed from the throne at age 23. So Jehoiakim said, I think I'll pick an heir now while I may have any choice in it. He didn't even know if that would make a difference, but it's all he could do. So it makes very good sense that Jehoiachin would be picked at an early age, at age 8. So what about the length of the reign and such? Is there an address for that? Well, both the accounts tell us that Jehoiachin reigned in Jerusalem 3 months. One account adds 3 months and 10 days. Obviously, the 3 months is a rounded figure. Remember, the writers are winding down the history of the kings in Judah, and the counts are getting shorter. They get ready to be carried away into Babylon. So we see that both accounts tell us that the 3 months and 10 days. Now, it says that Jehoiachin, the count that people put in question, was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 3 months and 10 days in Jerusalem, and that did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. So, 8 years. He reigned 3 months and 10 days in Jerusalem. Now, what do we learn about this? Well, political turmoil all around. After the Babylonian invasions began in Judah and the country round about, the phrase "king over Judah and Jerusalem," began to be used. It wasn't necessary before the Babylonian invasions. The king of Judah and Jerusalem were one of the same. After the Babylonian invasions began, the king of Jerusalem was not by default the king of Judah. Pharaoh Necho had already come out and defeated Josiah. He had already defeated the lands around Jerusalem. Just because Jehoiakim was reigning in Jerusalem doesn't mean he was still reigning all of Judah. See that? Now, for the Babylonian invasion, the phrase didn't matter. After the Babylonian invasion, the phrase is used to indicate the rule over both. So if it says Judah and Jerusalem, that's showing us both. Jehoiakim made his son Jehoiachin co-regent of Judah at age 8. Jehoiakim, Jehoiachin's dad, became the appointed king of Jerusalem for 3 years after Babylon. You see, he became Babylon's appointed ruler in Jerusalem. Jehoiakim did. This would have excluded Jehoiachin from also being king of Jerusalem. See, because Jehoiakim is the one who made his son Jehoiachin king of Judah at age 8. But now the king of Babylon comes, having conquered Judah, and says to Jehoiakim, you're my king over Jerusalem now. Who does that exclude from being king over Jerusalem? Jehoiachin. See that? That still does not exclude the fact that Jehoiakim had made him king co-regent over Judah. Jehoiakim became the appointed king of Jerusalem. This would have excluded Jehoiachin also from being king of Jerusalem. This would not necessarily have excluded his from being co-regent over Judah the previous years. The text is not a discrepancy. It's a testimony to the confusion of and the unrest of the political day. And so we see that. So when it says that Jehoiachin reigned, or that Jehoiachin reigned, was made king at 8, and then he reigned in Jerusalem 3 months and 10 days, that's because he was placed there by who? By the king of Babylon when he took Jehoiachin, his father, out. You got that? I'm sorry, Jehoiakim. He took Jehoiakim, his father, out, and the king of Babylon put Jehoiachin in and made him king of Jerusalem, you see. And that's when he started reigning in Jerusalem, as far as the reign goes then, because whether or not Jehoiakim, his dad, made him king over all that didn't matter anymore with Babylon in charge. So his reign in Jerusalem started when what? When the king of Babylon appointed him there. That's why we have him appointed by his father at age 8. Yet none of that counts toward his reign in Jerusalem when the king of Babylon put him there. He only reigned for 3 months and 10 days before the king of Babylon took him out too. See that? So there's a lot of study there. There's a lot of comparing things. But you don't have to throw up your arms and say, well, it just must be a discrepancy. No, there's probably more behind the story. And it might push us into reading and studying and trying to figure this thing out, amen, and praying through it. But there are answers if we'll search for them. And God can show us these things. We have a reliable Bible. Think about some of the rules that the scribes had when they made the copies of the scriptures. They could only use clean animal skins, both to write on and even to bind manuscripts. Each column of writing could have no less than 48, no more than 60 lines. The ink must be black and of a special recipe. They must verbalize each word aloud while they were writing. They must wipe the pen and wash their entire bodies before writing the word Jehovah every time they wrote it. There must be a review within 30 days, and if as many as 3 pages require corrections, the entire manuscript had to be redone. The letters, words, and paragraphs had to be counted. And the document became invalid if 2 letters touched each other. The middle paragraph word and letter must correspond to those of the original document. The documents could be stored only in sacred places, synagogues, etc. And goes on there. So we see they took great care in copying the scriptures. And so I am persuaded now that there is not a mistake in the Masoretic text. And I am persuaded, as was not, the, no one was arguing that King James was wrong here. The King James copied it right. It was copied right. It was put in right. But I don't think there's a mistake in the Masoretic text either. There are too many explanations behind what was going on in the turmoil of the time. And all these things. And so we can be encouraged and we can be challenged as we study our Bible. You say, well, preacher, wouldn't it be easier just to change that one? I mean, it's only 8 and 18. It's only one verse. You know, why don't we just make them both 18? And we won't have to go through all that worry and all that, you know, trying to figure out and study what it could have been. And, you know, and why don't we just do that? Well, folks, this is the Word of God, okay? We don't trifle with the Word of God. But if you want to find somebody who'll do that for you, there's a few out there that have already done that. I'll give you names of a few of them. Some of them went ahead and took care of that problem for us, and they went ahead and corrected the copies, and they made 2 Chronicles 18 too. They just put 18 in there to match the account in Kings. Even though the Masoretic text doesn't have 18 in there, why? You know why? Because they doubt the preservation of the manuscript. That's why. We can go ahead. We'll just put this in, and that's what they did. And they just put it in. So if you don't want to be bothered looking into those some of those things, here's some of the Bibles you can buy. He'll just change it for you. They'll correct it for you. They'll, you know, anything they think's an error, they'll just fix the way they ought to be and make it all match up. Here we go. The Holman Christian Standard Bible, the Good News Translation, the Contemporary English Version, the Christian Standard Bible, the Berean Study Bible, the ESV, the New Living Translation, and the NIV have all gone ahead and taken that liberty for you and changed the account in 2 Chronicles to 18 to make it all nice and neat and tidy and what they think it should be. And maybe the Masoretics will be a little bit more careful not to make so many mistakes in their next copies. No, we don't need to go that far, folks. There's reason, plenty of reasons behind of what could have been that. We have two different accounts, two different writers of Kings and Chronicles, and why they chose. We noticed that the Chronicles account was one who gave more details. He's the one who gave the 3 months and 10 days. So maybe he wanted to be more specific on the fact. Well, his daddy did make him king at age 8, and he was really only king in Jerusalem at 3 months and 10 days, because then he was made king by Nebuchadnezzar in Jerusalem. So really, if the facts are, these are the facts here, I'll just put them down, let them figure it. Maybe that's the way the Holy Spirit led the writer of 2 Chronicles. And I think that would be a good answer for that. And maybe he thought that God's people would just have enough faith, amen, to look it up and get confirmation on that. So I'm thankful for the book that we can see God's hand in it, and we'll trust him. Amen. And when you can't trace his hand, trust his heart, God will lead us in the way. We got to be true to the book and follow it as he directs. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word, and Lord, there are indeed many things that people put forward. And it's sad to know that most of those, especially who could find out these things for themselves, Father, and maybe hold themselves forth as Bible scholars and commentators, God, and perhaps they should pray more and put some more study into these things before they make such announcements regarding your word. Saying that mistakes have been made, things have been left out, things have been added. And Father, maybe they should realize that. And Father, I pray that you'd help us to be true to your word. And Father, all those that have done this and take a different side, many of them that I've read, and Father, I don't believe that they're bad people, Father. Many of them are good Christians, Lord. But I do think that in honor for your word, we need to be careful. We need to be prayerful, and I pray that you would help us in that and help us to do that in our study and in our walk with you. And Father, help us to be careful to thank you and praise you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.